Born Bold.
The new Big Bertha family from Callaway Golf. Engineered for distance any way you swing it.
Breakfast with Gary Ryan and Tim Watson on SEN.
Just before we cross to Peter O'Rourke, the plot thickens on this wispy hair situation.
Oh, does it? How much thicker can it get, do you think?
I think a lot. Nick reckons he just picked up his son, his herald son from the servo, and there's some feathery hair strands hanging out of it. It could be a giveaway, is it? Get the wisp's hair cut out as a bonus from the herald son. Oh, crikey, I'm all over this today.
I can hear it.
We've got to straighten up. You're getting a lot of thumps of jump to your defence, though, Wisp, so I'll read them out to be fair as well. But we do wake up this morning to the news that West Ham coach and two of his players, who were both set to start against Hull, have all tested positive for COVID-19. The interesting thing is the game still went ahead, so I wonder if Peter O'Rourke can put us in the picture here, leading journalist over in the UK. Peter, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, guys.
We, as you can imagine, every sporting organisation in the world dealing with the challenges around COVID-19. What was the situation here, and how is it that the game continued to go ahead with those two players?
Yeah, it's a real developing story over here in the UK. This West Ham trio testing positive for COVID-19, which is the normal test that Premier League clubs are carrying out on all their staff and players during the week in training, before matches as well. But yeah, this one definitely a bit different. Less than an hour before kickoff tonight in the Carabao Cup tie against Hull, news came out that David Moyes, the manager, Issa Diop, the centre-back, and Josh Cullen, the midfielder, all tested positive for coronavirus, and then obviously were told to leave the stadium and go home and isolate. And the strange thing is that the match actually went ahead despite this shock news that the three people had tested positive for COVID. The game went ahead. West Ham went on to win 5-1 to book their place in the fourth round of the Carabao Cup. But yeah, also reports suggesting that the Hull City players refused to take COVID tests, even though West Ham were willing to pay for them and provide them. And that's going to cause a few more question marks around this whole game and why it went ahead, because really, coronavirus has reared its ugly head again here in the UK. Infections are rising every day, almost doubling every day, and there's real concerns that we're going to have a second wave of the virus right now. And we all know how bad it was, the first wave around March time when we went into a national lockdown, and we've had statements from the scientific people. We've had an announcement from the Prime Minister tonight as well about new restrictions and how to try and combat the virus as well. So yeah, real worrying times. Not just for sport, but for everybody in general in the UK. But yeah, big shock, this news tonight that the three West Ham employees tested positive and then actually went ahead and played the game. So they might have spread the virus even more because if those three people were around the West Ham squad for the last couple of days, there's a real possibility that more players might test positive in the next few days.
Peter, it is amazing to think that so strict are the protocols here, and I'd imagine the same over there, that could happen. What does it mean for the Premier League season then?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Everybody seems to be saying that they're following the protocols, following the guidelines that have been given out by the government. The Premier League have been quite good following those guidelines, and they've created their bubbles, all these Premier League clubs. We've had very few positive tests up to now. When Premier League restarted after lockdown, they got through it and finished the season, albeit without any fans in stadiums, but it all seemed to go quite well, and I think everybody was impressed by the organisation of the Premier League and how they got the games played despite the initial first wave of coronavirus. And the season has started. We're two games in now and there hasn't been many issues. There's been a few people have tested positive. We've had Ilkay Gundogan of Manchester City. He's tested positive, so he missed last night's game against Wolves. But I think this one's probably the biggest one so far, with three members of a squad, including the manager, David Moyes, all testing positive. And I think there's going to be question marks because they played Arsenal just last Saturday, and if some of the Arsenal players were now to test positive, that would be a real major headache for the Premier League. But I think right now the Premier League's plan and the rest of the clubs, they want to continue on and continue in their bubbles, and they're going to follow the guidelines and hope that there'll be no more positive tests for any players or staff.
Hey, Peter, just one final question before we let you go. Crowds were set to re-enter stadiums in a limited capacity on October 1, but that date has now been pushed back because of what's happening there in the UK. What will the financial implications be of all that?
Yeah, it's pretty massive, the financial implications of this. It's a real shock to the system for all sports, not just football. I think we've heard the Aston Villa chief executive, Christian Purslow, claim that Premier League clubs are losing £100 million a month when fans are not in the stadiums, which is a massive amount of money. Obviously, these Premier League clubs are all pretty wealthy and rich. They can probably cope with that with the amount of money they get from TV deals and everything else being broadcast all over the world. But it's the other clubs in England in the lower leagues, the Championship, League One, League Two, they're going to really struggle without fans. That's their lifeblood. That's where they get most of their revenue from. And the longer we're without fans, it's probably going to mean that some clubs go to the wall, unfortunately. I think right now that's probably the worst case scenario, but I think it's pretty inevitable because we're not going to have fans back in stadiums probably within the next 6 months, according to the government and the scientists. So, yeah, it's going to be a real tough time for English football and English sport in general, I think.
Indeed it is, and it is around the world, Peter. Hey, we appreciate you jumping on at short notice and keeping us up to speed with that concerning development. Good luck. Hopefully the season can continue on because we need the distraction. We appreciate you joining us.
No problems, guys. Take care.
Peter O'Rourke, leading footy journalist over there.
It beggars belief.
Imagine how that happens. Yeah. Does it, isn't it?
Yeah. There's no way known that... I was thinking while he was talking about what had taken place there. There's no way known, similar circumstances here in the AFL, that that game would have gone ahead.
So how does it happen? I mean, we don't know the answers to this, but as he said, didn't they get to go and play Arsenal? So then Arsenal are implicated, and we know how this thing works, so... It is a concern. So thankfully, we're just so fortunate that the AFL have been able to handle the situation here and get their clubs away and up into a safe environment. And our four finals start in a couple of weeks' time, and fingers crossed that we do get to the line without any further issues. Hairgate continues to go, but I'll just give it a rest for a minute. We'll get to 7 o'clock news and we'll come back and we'll talk some footy after we hear from Meredith Gibbs.